Hello and welcome to Healing From Within. I am your host, Cheryl Glick, author of The Living Spirit, which shares stories of spiritual awakenings, spiritual communication, healing energies, miracles, and life as seen through a multidimensional lens. I am most delighted today to welcome Alan McNair, author of I Dream of Amoresh, who shares his poetry and his journey from homelessness to a state of well-being and his use of transcendental meditation as a tool for harnessing his creative talents and balancing his physical life. Hello, Alan, and thank you for joining us today.
Hello, Cheryl. How are you today?
Pretty good. Alan, as listeners of this show know, my guests and I share our experiences as we discover that life is very much more than merely surviving our physical challenges, and really a question of unleashing all the wonderment and positive energy of our inner or soul life into the world. Unfortunately, many people fear to explore the spiritual side of their multidimensional being and are often overwhelmed by the outside physical world. We on this show have discovered it is only by going within that we totally begin to live in harmony and balance and truly understand the complexities of our life force. In today's show, Alan will share his journey and family issues that led to his own health challenges and the way he was able to move past to find a sense of peace in his life. This book is the fictional story of a lovely soul, Amoresh, who through an accident comes into the world and uses her extraordinary powers to serve our race. It is the story of love and sacrifice and a tale of good and evil. Alan, I always love to ask my guests to think back to their childhood and a person, event, or interest that they had at the beginning in their early life which may have shown them or others around them the interests and values they might hold on to later in adulthood, because I believe our destiny and the purpose of our life journey is part of a bigger life plan we bring into the world at the time of our birth. So think back for a minute to someone who was important to you or some event.
There was a principal of elementary school named Mr. Alexander. And he met me through an unfortunate incident where I was in a fight with another student. But he took me under his wings, and he realized that there was something greater about me than just this insecurity that I expressed upon meeting him. So what he did was he encouraged my writing and wanted me to get a typewriter that would help me to express my thoughts. So I asked my dad for the typewriter, but he wouldn't give me the one that I wanted. But he did get me a typewriter, which I used to write some westerns initially that I composed based on some TV shows that I had watched.
All right, so this principal was a very intuitive person who saw and knew that everybody learns differently and shares their feelings and emotions in different ways. And he helped you tap into your own natural creative force. And that's a beautiful thing. We all need to have people around us who can do that. And sometimes it's not our family or siblings. Or sometimes it's a principal like Mr. Alexander. So that's a wonderful story. Now let's go on to a little bit more of your personal story. How did your father's depression, which he handled by using alcohol, and his threats of leaving the family, impact your life as a young boy?
I felt that he didn't support me with things that were of my interest, but I found other outlets such as performance creative performance like acting, and varsity debate, which I got heavily involved in and did my best in those areas to excel in the areas that I was interested in.
Well, that's what we all should do. I mean, nobody can be good at everything, unfortunately. The way the brain works is we have a certain capacity for either sports or motion or literature or music. But our parents sometimes want us to be so perfect, they think we can do it all. And that's not really realistic, is it? We have
No.
our special, and unfortunately, a lot of pressure is put on children nowadays. So much competitiveness and getting into schools. And the reality of it is that we are all born with a plan and we will find our path and we can live a successful, happy, joyful, compassionate life. But it's not another person's choice for us, it's our own choice and our own needs to, have our soul mature because we truly have a soul life and we have a physical life, and they fight each other sometimes, and we need to find the balance between both to really be healthy and to achieve our full potential. So let's go on to you did have and suffer from anxiety, as many sensitive children and gifted people do. But what did you find? What was your diagnosis, and what did you find that helped you to transcend?
Okay, it was a long time coming because initially I was diagnosed with paranoid schizophrenia, but it was in 1990 that I talked to a kindly psychiatrist and we worked things through and discovered through certain psychological evaluation tests that I was actually bipolar, manic
Okay.
depressive. And when I found that, a lot of my anger left me and I felt satisfied that something was understood that I could relate to in improving myself based on what I knew more about myself through this diagnosis.
Well, many diagnoses are wrong because people are very complicated biologically and emotionally, but it's good that you found somebody who helped you understand, and you worked through that anxiety, and you were more comfortable. Once we get more comfortable in our body, everything can be handled. It's just a matter of having the support around us and drawing the right energy by making the right choices. So then you got into I know I have a date here. November 1970 began your healing journey. How did that happen and what prompted it?
Okay, I was in my second year of college, and a year before that, I learned about the Transcendental Meditation technique. And I read a book called The Science of Being and Art of Living by Maharishi Mahesh Yogi. And immediately upon reading a few pages of the book, I said, that's what I want to do. I want to learn this technique. And so in 1970, it became available through an introductory lecture on campus. And then I went to, I believe, Ames, Iowa, to be initiated in the practice of transcendental meditation.
Yeah, it was first developing around that time. I have interviewed other people who talk about it. What is transcendental meditation?
Transcendental meditation is an easy and effortless mental technique that allows one to follow a thought to its subtler and subtler regions within the mind. And when we reach these subtler regions of the mind, our awareness expands to know more about our subconscious and bring it to the conscious level of thinking and acting and being able to be more creative, more productive, and more efficient in life.
Wonderful. And I know in 1974 you were accepted to work at the Maharishi International Press in Livingston Manor, New York, where you began to write vignettes for the stage with the Thresholds Theater Arts Project. And that helped provide people with certain mental health issues the opportunities to express their stories on stage. What a wonderful approach to helping people feel comfortable within themselves and to help other people develop that technique to do the same. So I think that's wonderful you were involved in that. Now, there is a paragraph on page 24 which shares with readers an understanding of one of the pervasive themes of the presidential election that has just passed. And you wrote, "In complete equality, each one treats the other fairly. Happiness is found freely in peaceful community acts of fairness. Justice govern each other's discourse. Unity rings true as diversity is celebrated by all. Quiet ships sail golden clouds from one tower grand to another, carriers of goods and people, ready to launch soon after arrival. Minds intimate touch natural to all. Mentality is greatest treasure. Mere thought brings desired object within reach, fulfills slightest need." And if we look at that last thought, mere thought brings desired object within reach, fulfills slightest need, we discover a great spiritual truth that our thoughts actually manifest our state of reality. So we know negativity draws greater negativity, and love or belief in the good of all does bring harmony, peace, balance, and greater compassion. And again, in reference to the 2016 election, people in the country hope to see a change, and they hope to see a nation begin to win again. And President Trump, through his sheer concentration on his hopes for making America great again, he had a landslide electoral vote because he truly believed what he was saying, and he loved the country, I imagine, and wants what's best for many, many people. So when I read that, I thought of that, and I know that in many realms of life, both physically and spiritually, thought and good thought is very important to creating the best reality for all of us. So we'll go on to, I know transcendental meditation has changed your life, and how did it do that? How did it work with your brain synapses?
Well, it brings greater coherence, brainwave coherence, and this is scientifically proven by scientific studies of people who have been longtime meditators. And there's a particular program called the TM City program, which helps to manifest reality for many people. And that program brings greater brain coherence to the mind of a person. And greater brain coherence has the effect of being very creative, very productive, very well energized. It gives you a good sense of rest and energy to complete tasks, and your thinking is much clearer based on this technique.
Absolutely. And when our thoughts are clearer and more loving and compassionate, this attitude can change us and can change the world. And in my book, The Living Spirit, I approach this attitude and this way of thinking and using tools like meditation to help us clarify our thoughts. And I wrote, "It would serve us well to understand how our positive thoughts can bring us more feelings of self-empowerment, self-esteem, self-love, and acceptance, and contribute to how our lives unfold. We see that like begets like, positive action begets positive action, and that positive friends and behaviors can allow for more personal growth, leading to more internal or soul growth, and greatly enhance the way we handle all experiences. In other words, there are no experiences that should ever throw you completely off your game if you are aligned to the needs and values of your inner world." And I believe that's what transcendental meditation did for you, and it does for everyone who begins to quiet themselves and to know themselves on a deeper level. Now, let's go on to what inspired you to write I Dream of Amoresh, and what is the storyline about for our listeners?
Well, what inspired me to write I Dream of Amoresh is that I had spent from 1990 to 1992 writing vignettes in poetry about my life and my homelessness, which I experienced in 1990. So when I started to write this book, I thought of this person herself as being homeless and being able to, what would she do to combat this feeling of homelessness and belonging, lack of belonging. So she fully engaged in being a servant to the people of the planet that she found herself in. And so
So Amoresh was a visitor from another place who came to Earth.
Right. And so she was without a home, and she made her home by falling in love with one of the people of our planet, Mandolin. Mm-hmm. And they raised a daughter, Asgareth. So the basic story is their exploration of the world mind to mind, and through far vision, they were able to see further realms of the world and even see certain aspects of the past of that world to teach them how to live and how to serve mankind.
Absolutely. And I think that your book shows there are people of wisdom who masquerade as good, but actually harbor thoughts to rule rather than serve others who do not have their mental powers. So it became sort of like we can learn to cheer the good people and pity the evil ones, but know that while this is a book of science fiction written as an epic poem, it is also the story of how we as humans choose to move forward towards the light or good within us, while also acknowledging that each of us has a shadow side or darker side, and we need to find ways to balance and engage the best within ourselves and in the world. So your book deals a great deal with that in the beauty of poetry. Now, as a medium and energy practitioner, I have had clients who have said they have never felt they belonged here in this world and were from other dimensions of life. And many, many years ago in Arizona, I met a woman named Victoria who told me she had always been guided during her childhood by what she called light beings, and that they let her know she was here on this planet to raise the vibration or emotions of people and help them through vibrational music. So perhaps what is fictional could also be seen as more realistic, because here is a woman I met who expressed to me that she was from another place and was here to help people through the love she had for life and wanted our people on this planet to have a greater awakening or awareness of multidimensional life forces. So I thought you'd like to hear about that. So what could be fiction could also be in other times and places reality. So go on to telling us what was the original